Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Royal Oak, Michigan, and began working for her mom and dad's fledgling training company in 1979. With her dad's passing in 1992, she became the president/CEO of TTI Global, which today consists of 1,300 plus employees in 15 countries. She recently was named the chair of the National Automotive Technicians Education Foundation, and as such, is the first woman chair in this organization's history. Her name, Lori Blakely. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Lori Blakely, the president and CEO of TTI Global. Lori, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, Jack, I'm just absolutely thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
That would be perfect. So what would you like to know?
Tell me about your mom and your dad.
My dad and mom. Actually, they were married very young. They were 18 when they got married, right out of high school. They were high school sweethearts. My dad went on to college. My mom stayed at home, and she immediately gave birth within 9 months to my sister, and we had three of us one year after another while my dad was going to school and also working full-time at night for Twin Pines Dairy. That's how they paid for his education and kept things going. And my dad actually graduated with a degree in electrical engineering and went to work in the aeronautical industry.
Lori, what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom?
Oh, probably from my dad that, there's times in your life when you have to work really, really hard. It just seems like probably you're never going to get out of it. I can remember my mom telling us stories that, she was pregnant again, they didn't have enough money. My dad actually went out and bought material to make diapers, because they couldn't afford to go out and buy them. So there would be my dad and his little bit of free time between going to school full-time, working full-time, sewing diapers on the sewing machine. So, you can get through anything. It just takes time. It takes perseverance. And you just got to keep moving forward.
And your mom, what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom, Shirley?
My mother. She absolutely loved music. And I think, if anything, the gift that my mother has given me is the joy that I have for music, for singing, for playing the piano, for those little simple things in life that you don't always take the time to appreciate. She forced me to take piano lessons. I absolutely, at the time when I was a child, I hated it. And I think for like 2 or 3 years, she forced me every week. And then every day I would have to sit down and practice for half an hour. And she'd set the timer on the kitchen stove. And you'd have to sit there and practice for 30 minutes every day. But I think she was the one that gave us the joy in the beautiful things of life, and whether it's art, music, and the creative side of things. So,
let's go back to 1976. Your mom and dad start and found S&J, Shirley and John, Tech Data Service Company. Tell us how that came to be.
Okay, my dad was writing service manuals. He was a serial entrepreneur before he even left the aeronautical industry. But he worked for GE. He worked for the old LTV, Ling Temco Vought, here in the Detroit area, writing service manuals for the defense industry. He always wanted to be his own boss. So he actually took a real big, bold step. He left that particular industry and went to work with a friend of his, and they did underground construction. So they would at they would put water lines into people's homes, and they did this in Shelby Township. Well, so he did that for a couple years. I can't remember quite how long, but that was a total bust, and he failed at it. They actually had to go on food stamps for a while. They had absolutely no money, and actually, to supplement their income, my dad started writing service manuals for some companies that were working in the automotive industry. So he actually wrote car and truck shop manuals. And he did that to supplement his income because he was failing in his construction business. So to make a long story short, the car service manual business just was a burgeoning success. He was very good at it. It's when electronics started to hit the automotive industry, and he was wildly successful, and the rest is history from there.
Let's go to 1979. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad hire you.
Exactly.
To help write these manuals out of their office in the home. How much did they pay you, Lori?
Oh, gosh. Probably minimum wage. But at that time, my oldest son was just born. He was 6 months old. I was trying to figure out how I was going to work and with a young son. Same thing that most women wrestle with, same thing these days. But anyway, I would take him with me, and I would go to work down in the basement every day and type thousands and thousands of pages of service manuals every year, proof and edit. I learned more about cars in typing those service manuals than I ever cared to know or ever wanted to know. And that was before computers. So when you made a mistake typing, you had the old typewriter with the corrector tape, and you'd have to go back and imagine, typing tens of thousands of service manual pages every year. So, but I got paid very little for what I did, but I hope I contributed.
You definitely did. 1984, Technical Training Inc., TTI, was formed as a subsidiary, and that started out dealership training for mechanics.
Exactly.
Talk about that subsidiary.
Exactly. That was right about the time when electronics was really hitting the automotive industry. It was really new, electronic engine controls. We were replacing distributors with, EFI and electronic circuits. And so it was really new. And because we had become such experts working with engineering and writing the service manuals, we knew a lot about the systems, how they worked, how they functioned. So the automotive manufacturers here in the Detroit area came to us and said, you write the service manuals. Do you have anyone that can teach automotive, our technicians, on these systems? Can you write training programs? So it was just kind of a natural offshoot of the service manual business and the expertise that we'd gained. So we started to provide the instructors and training development as well.
Almost 30 years later, TTI Global consists of 1,300 plus people, 15 countries. When we come back, we're going to ask Lori a sampling of things they do throughout the world. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm your host, Jack Russell, and we're with Lori Blaker, President and CEO of TTI Global, which consistently ranks among the top 25 woman-run businesses in America. Lori, give us a sampling, if you will, of some of the things you're training people to do all around the world.
Sure. We work primarily, one of our biggest core competencies is obviously working with automotive companies and training their dealership personnel, whether it's a salesperson on how to sell a car. When you get to a market like China or India, many of the salespeople, they've never even driven a car. So how are you going to teach them to sell a car? So it's a significant challenge in those types of markets. How to stock a parts department. How do you turn your inventory, how to manage that. And then as well, the service department, how are we going to repair the vehicles? If you've never even been in a vehicle, how are you going to learn how to fix a car? All these things contribute towards customer satisfaction, warranty expenses, and help our manufacturers grow in the emerging markets where they're establishing their operations. So those are probably a sampling of what the biggest core of our business would be around the world.
You've been to China a number of times. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about China.
China. I established China. It was my first international office. And that was back in 1994. And that's back before China even, when you travel over there, they wouldn't even take a credit card. The only place where you could even use a credit card, for example, was at your local hotel. You'd get off the beaten path and there was just nothing. I was establishing the office there. My youngest son was 6 months old. And I was forced to spend a lot of time there. Not forced to spend. I loved to spend a lot of time there. But I didn't want to leave him home because he was just a baby, so I would take him with me. And so as a result, he spent a lot of time with me in China. His first words weren't English. They were Chinese. But it was a budding automotive industry there. And we established all the training and support operations for Ford Motor Company in that market way back in 1994. So that was quite a feat for a company in their first international operation.
What's the thing that impresses you the most about the Chinese people?
Their industriousness. I mean, they don't give up, and they move fast. If they want to get something done, good or bad, they just do it. And that's a lot of the determination of the government. And sometimes that's good for the local economy, for the country's economy, but sometimes it's not so good. They move people out of the way. If they want to use a city block for a specific purpose, I mean, they just move you. On the positive side, they get things done really fast. And that's something that I can appreciate.
India.
India. Wow, what a market. You know, it's such a country with such a rich culture and such a diverse population. You have Christians, you have Muslims, you have Hindus. You've got 4,000 years of history. They talk about, you know, you've got Gandhi, who preach nonviolence and love of each other. And yet it's such a violent, at times, country. So it's real diverse, and it goes from one extreme to the next. There's a rapidly budding middle class, and I think that's going to be great for that country. People are starting to see growth and opportunity, and that just bodes well for everybody.
Lori Blaker, you've been deeply influenced by the life and works of Mother Teresa, Calcutta.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes.
Why?
You know what? It was one of those just kind of haphazard things. I actually had gone to Calcutta to do some business meetings, actually with a U.S. embassy official that I knew that was working there. And I had the meeting. I had an afternoon a free time, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go do some sightseeing, because even though I'm traveling by myself, I'm not afraid to get out and get around and learn about a culture, and that's so important. But the driver that I had hired to take me around said, oh, I need to take you to see Mother's House. And I went, Mother's House? You know, what's Mother's House? He said, Mother Teresa's. And I went, oh, of course, you know, I would love to see that. So we went. And I can't tell you that the feeling that came over me, it was like, oh, I was meant to be here. I was meant to see this. I was at a real kind of low point in, not a low point, but, well, yeah, a low point in my life. And it gave me heart to see where she lived, to see the simple way that she lived. She left Yugoslavia when she was like 18 years old back in 1929 or whenever it was. To think of an 18-year-old young woman leaving home at that time, traveling all that way to India because she wanted to work with the poor. It's just the feeling, the energy when you walk into the mother house is just overwhelming. It's awesome.
I've heard that in her room, there were two things on the wall. One was a crucifix, and one was a poem entitled, Do It Anyway. Would you share with us that poem?
Of course, I'd love to. It says so much about her. But here it goes. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies, but succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you, be honest and frank anyway. What you spent years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway.
And that's a poem by Mother Teresa. Do it anyway. Lori, the latest country that you're venturing into is Afghanistan. Why?
Oh, there's so much need there, Jack. When I take a look at the world, I guess I've never gone to the really tame places. You need to focus in on where people need you the most. They've been through so much. We've spent so much there. If we back out now and we don't establish job skills, if we don't help them establish a local economy, that everything that we've done since 2011 is all going to go to waste when all of the international security forces pull out in 2 years. They've got to have job skills. They've got to be able to work. They've got to have a means to earn a living, put a roof over their head, food on the table. That's sustainable.
Every company has a culture. Describe for us TTI Global's culture.
Oh, our culture. Every individual in my organization is valued. There's no one person in our organization that's more important than the other. It's truly, I believe, a team effort. I don't matter. It's the collective efforts of all of us that matter. And if we can't celebrate in that, then what's the point? So if we have any culture, I would like to think that that's at the heart of it, that everybody's important.
As the leader, Lori Blaker of TTI Global, how do you propagate this culture throughout those 1,300 worldwide teammates?
It's important. It's a cascade down. It's important in the people that I hire that work under me, my management team. They need to communicate for me. In fact, I just had our brand new country manager from Mexico in. It was 2 weeks ago. I made sure he came in for orientation. I spent time with him and I said, look, this is the way it is. Do the right thing always. First and foremost, you do the right thing for your people. Then you do the right thing for the company, and everything else will take care of itself. It just will work. Trust me. You speak for me. So it's that type of communication and instilling that type of belief and philosophy in the people that work with you.
All of the literature that I looked at in preparation for the show mm-hmm. says, quote, unquote, I am TTI, and then various things, and it ends with, there's a spark in all I do.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That means it's that little touch of something that an employee won't forget, a customer won't forget, that when you go the distance, when you do that little extra, that's the spark. That's what customers see. That's what employees see. That's important.
We're talking to Lori Blaker, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Lori Blaker, who was an Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, well-deserved in 2008. Lori, most every entrepreneur that I meet sees his or her teammates as a second family.
Mm-hmm.
And two phenomenally successful women that started and ran businesses would be one, Mary Kay Cosmetics out of Dallas. Mm-hmm. She's now deceased. But she wrote me a letter once, and she said, true success comes only after one realizes that P&L means not only profit and loss, but more importantly, it means people and love.
Mm-hmm. I can totally relate to that. You know, as we were growing and as we were building our business and started to really start winning and crossing the line and, okay, we're more profitable than we're losing, the accountants would come to me and say, you know what, you need to be getting better margins. You need to, you know, you can't just be thinking about revenue. You need to be thinking about profit, which, of course, is important. But I finally got to the point where I looked at them and I said, how much do we need? What's enough? The company's doing well. The employees are doing well. The customers are happy. What more do we need? And how much more do we need to generate in profit? And how cutthroat do we need to be? I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. So I've always said, you know what? Enough's enough. As long as everybody's happy, everybody's doing well, and everybody's healthy, it's enough. So that's my business philosophy.
Let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
You're 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're divorced with a son.
Three
and
sons.
You're working two jobs.
Right.
On paper, you didn't have a shot. What do you say to a young single mom tonight who has a few children, she's struggling to make it, and she's got a dream in her soul?
You can't look around you and compare yourself to anyone else. You have to take a look at what your opportunities are and what your dreams are and start from there. You can't compare yourself to, well, is my house, is my apartment, are my kids this, are my kids that. I actually was a single mom. I had three boys, and I was working two jobs. I had the day job working for my dad, and then I worked an evening job. I got home at night anywhere between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I would throw wash in. I would make lunches for the boys. I would try and vacuum or mop, do one or two things, sleep for an hour, get the boys up, get them breakfast, get them off to school. I never gave up. I just never gave up. It was really hard. I was exhausted. In fact, it gets to the point where you don't even know how tired you are until you finally rest and you go, wow, I think I was really tired. I needed that rest. But you just don't give up and don't compare yourself to anyone else. You just have to keep going, moving forward one day, even if it's one step. You know, grab hold of a dream and go for it. I'd never graduated from college. I would have loved to, but I worked for my dad. I worked evenings. I worked at the palace. And I had came down to the point where I had to make a choice. Where am I going to give my all? To my dad's organization or to the Pistons organization at that particular time? So I had to make a choice, and that was a big choice. And I chose working for my dad. It wasn't as exciting as it was working for the Pistons, obviously. But I had three boys, and it was more conducive to a family environment. And I was working a lot of evenings, and I needed to be home more.
Here's a quote from the famous, legendary president of Notre Dame, Father Ted Hesburgh. Mm-hmm. Quote, "Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's acting with integrity in the face of fear."
And that's so totally true. But what's fear? I mean, you have to take a step back and take a look at that. What are you afraid of? You know, what's causing it? I think one of the reasons that I've been successful and I've been able to keep going is when I feel fear, number one, you must always do the right thing. And if you keep that first and foremost in your mind and you work and you live with integrity, that's the most important. But when you confront your fear, what are you afraid of? And then you break it apart piece by piece, and then you put yourself back together a step at a time. That's how you conquer fear. And that's really, truly what courage is. It's not magic. It's just step by step, bit by bit.
Lori, talk to us about the power of a dream.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, my whole life, people told me I was crazy, and you can't listen to them. A dream is so important, but to dream is one thing. To move forward with a dream is something different. So you have to be able to dream it. And if you can dream it, that's the first step. Then you have to put it together in your mind. And how can I get there? No matter how silly it may sound, And then again, it's a step by step, bit by bit, day by day. And you win a little here, maybe the next day you don't. And then you win a little bit more there, and you just keep moving forward and never let anyone tell you that it's not important or it's stupid.
One of the brightest men I know was Alonzo McDonald, a former managing partner of McKinsey, former chief of staff of Jimmy Carter. He's taught me a lot. And one thing he says, quote, "Life is like a roller coaster. The winners are the ones who keep climbing on the broken rungs of the ladder of life."
Okay. I get that, and I totally agree. What I don't like to think about, there's what's broken. What do you classify as broken? I mean, the minute you say something's broken, then you've got a problem. Nothing, you know, you can't be thinking that way. It's not broken. It just is. It's something, that's the way it is. So if this is what happened, this is how I need to move. And I'm very, very careful in the way I think, the way I move, the way I operate. Things aren't broken. It just is. This is how things happen. This is how it shook out. This is how I need to move. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to maneuver. This is how I'm going to work around it. I'm not broken. It's not a setback. And that's how I like to think about things.
Lori, you've been all over the world. You've met people from four corners of the world. Nancy Fishman is a lady that started Forgotten Harvest, a fabulous program. And she's recently written a book, Eight Lessons I Learned in the Corners of the Field. And the first lesson is, quote, "People are not so different from each other. We all cry the same tears from fear, desperation, humiliation, and hunger."
Exactly. And I totally agree with that. Everywhere around the world, no matter where you go, whether it's from a personal perspective or a business perspective. From a business perspective, customers want to be treated the same. I'll walk into a boardroom at Ford Motor Company in India or China, and they'll say, "No, our customers are different." I'll look at them and I'll say, "No, they're not. Your customers wanted to be treated with respect. They want to be listened to, and it's no different here than it is in the United States, as it is in Europe, as it is in Latin America. From a personal and family perspective, everybody wants their children to be able to eat, go to school, have a roof over their head, and to be able to give an opportunity to learn and prosper. That is the same the world over. It's no different no matter where you are, and that I know from fact, from being all over. It's just so true.
We're talking to Lori Blaker, and I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Lori Blaker, who was recently named the chair of the National Automotive Technicians Education Foundation. As such, the first woman chair in this organization's history. Tall cotton, Lori.
It is.
What? You've had hundreds of teachers, instructors. What do all the great teachers, instructors have in common?
The love of their student and their willingness to share their experience and their knowledge with those people. I think that's and just the love of the people that they work with.
Technology's changing everybody's business. You are in the business of technology change. How is technology changing the training industry?
Oh, it's so exciting right now. We can communicate and pass information along so quickly to people all over the world. So if there's an important message that we need to get out very quickly, you know, we can communicate with the whole world in the flash of an eye, so or blink of an eye. We can reach people, for example, let's take India. You know, not everybody may have access to the internet, but even the real poor people that I've seen in India have mobile phones. How can we pass information and learning to them using mobile applications. So I don't think that it's ever been more exciting than it is right now as far as being able to share information and share knowledge quickly.
TTI Global thrives on change.
Mm-hmm.
Its very essence is change. Everybody loves change as long as it's for other people. Change is tough for me. A lot of people can't embrace change, or it's very hard for them. How does one learn to embrace and love change?
It's by taking a look, I think, at what's it going to do and how's it going to improve. And you can't look at things from your own personal perspective. The minute you bring yourself into it and you look at it from your own perspective, then you're destined to failure. But if you can take a step back and look at things and pull your ego out of it, and that is the single most biggest issue I think we have as you know, around the world. Pull your ego out of it and just take a look at it. What is this change? And how is it going to improve the lives of the people around us? Take me and my ego out of it. And if you can do that and look at things realistically, then I think we could move forward so much faster.
In business today, Lori, you have to keep learning while you're earning.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly in school, in life. What do you say to our listeners about wanting to always learn new things?
Oh, you have to. If you stop learning, I think you just kind of crumble up and shrivel up and die inside. The world is moving so fast now. It's so hard to keep up. And why wouldn't you want to be excited about everything that's changing and being able to learn, you know, new subjects, new technology? It's just critical. As a society, we're moving too fast. You can't stand still.
We have to be a student of life for life. It's obvious you believe in servant leadership.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Talk to us about servant leadership.
Setting a good example. First and foremost, you know, my kids could probably tell you this, but I try and hammer it into their head every day. Don't take things personally. Never make assumptions. As a leader, those are the two things that I think get us in trouble the fastest. When you take something personal and when you make an assumption about what someone is thinking or what someone's feeling, you can't do that. You need to take a step back. Again, pull your ego out of it, take a look, and move forward from there.
In January of 2009, as I mentioned earlier, you became the first woman chair in the 30-year history of the National Automotive Technicians Education Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
You know, I was very, very honored. At the same time, I didn't want to be considered as a token female. So I really wanted to make sure that I made an impact and I made a change within that. Not a change, but I had a positive influence on that particular organization, and I believe I have. And one of the things was, you know, you just don't let things go on as status quo. You question, why do we do things this way? Why do we do things that way? And then take a look and how can we streamline and make things better? And I think as a chairperson of NATEF, I started to do that, and I think I was one of the first ones that has questioned the status quo and how are we going to move forward.
Lori Blaker,
mm-hmm.
What's your philosophy of life?
My personal philosophy? It's all over the place. But I think you have to stay true to who you are. You have to understand what you're good at. You have to understand your strengths. You have to understand your weaknesses. And then you work on ways to work to your strengths and mitigate your weaknesses. But you always have to stay true to who you are. The minute that you try and deviate from that is when you get into trouble. The road gets rough and life becomes hard.
What is success to Lori Blaker?
1,300 families that are earning a living. I don't look at it that we have just 1,300 employees. I am responsible for 1,300 to 1,500 families a year around the world, not just an employee, but the entire family. I get up every day because they trust me. I trust them. I take care of them. They take care of me. My children, that to me is everything. My kids and what we've built is enormously important to me. I mean, you know, the incredible love that I felt as a mother and the enormous amount of pride that I have. Whenever I just look at my sons, when I see them in a room, it's just that means the entire world to me. So
you're 1,300 people. Uh-huh. The majority of them are very young.
Mm-hmm.
What do the young people of TTI Global teach you about life?
Oh, that's a very good question, Jack. What do they teach me? That I need to make sure that I stay in touch with what their challenges are, what their issues are, and what's important to them. You know, I try and work with them and make sure that they understand that it's important that we always do the right thing. No one owes you anything. Don't take anything personal. And for whatever you're doing, take joy in it. Because if you can't work and love what you do, then what's the point? So they show me what they love. I, in turn, then try and make sure that the organization, that the company gives them what they need in return.
Last question. What advice do you give to our young listeners tonight?
Always do the right thing. That's the most important. No matter how hard things get, it's much easier to sleep at night, be at peace with the world. And honestly, it's very, very difficult. It's much more difficult to be good. So you need to take a little bit of time. You need to think about that. And then you need to stay true to yourself. And don't forget to dream. You can't be afraid to dream. It's what fuels excitement. It's what fuels the world. So you need to make sure that you take time to enjoy the simple things in life and you dream big dreams.
Lori Blaker, what an amazing story, inspirational story. What an amazing lady. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Today marks the 7th anniversary of Anything is Possible. I would like to thank you, the listeners, for believing in us, our sponsors for making it possible, Mike Feasey and Steve Stewart for giving us a chance, Tom O'Brien and the entire WJR team for making us a part of this great family, Mark Blackwell, John Marshall, and Cindy Cooper for their magic behind the scenes, and lastly, God, our Heavenly Father. It's been a great honor and a great blessing. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom. It looks like you're the only believer around.